Krishna, you are a very pessimistic philosopher. Krishna says, me? Say, yup, Krishna, you are a very pessimistic philosopher. Why do you say that? Says, well, Krishna, look at it. This whole 16th chapter, the first three verses, okay, they were positive. But since then, the next 19 verses have only been full of negative ideas and thoughts, how this world is, you know, so selfish and so materialistic, and everybody is only looking for himself. And we see the big corporations, you know, they are just out to steal money, the environment is being destroyed, people are... You wrote this Gita 8,000 years ago, but it seems like you wrote it only last week. You have exactly described the state of the world right now, where everybody is only thinking of me, myself, and I, and everybody is in it just to make money, and nobody is thinking about the benefit of others, of society, of the world. And you have diagnosed our condition very well. But that is something I already knew. I already knew I was a fool. And by your telling me I'm a fool, it hasn't added to my knowledge. A fool doesn't need to be told he's a fool. And that's what you are telling us, that we are all foolish and we don't know what we should do. It's like I go to a doctor and I have a backache, and I go to 5-6 different doctors. And somebody gives me physical therapy, somebody gives me medicine, injections, and nothing helps. And then finally I go to the 7th doctor, and he says, look, your problem is not your back. You actually have a kidney stone, and you were misdiagnosed as back problems. Okay, so the doctor told me I have a kidney stone. Now thank you for making the diagnosis, but now I want to know what I should do with the stone. Should I take some medicine to dissolve it, or some shock waves, or should I get surgery or a procedure? The diagnosis is one thing, but the treatment also the doctor has to know, otherwise he's not worth it. So Krishna, you have given us the diagnosis of who we are, but now we need a treatment. And unless you do that, your diagnosis is useless. So Krishna says, don't worry. I still have 4 more verses in this chapter, and I'll give you the treatment in the next 4 verses. So far, up to 20 verses, he gave us the diagnosis. Now the 4 verses, like any other good doctor, Krishna will give us the treatment. What is the treatment for selfishness? What is the treatment for materialism? So that we shall listen from the teacher. So we'll start with verse number 21 and 22. These are the 2 verses that give us the treatment. Trividham narkasayedam narkasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kamak krodhastatha lobhah tasmadetatrayam tyajet. So what is the treatment? Krishna says, there are 3 problems that we all suffer from. Trividam. There are 3 kind of problems. And what does he call them? Narakasya dwaram. So these 3 things, if we have, they are highways to hell. They're not even roads, but they are highways to hell. And what do they do? Idam, these nashanam atmanaha, they destroy the self. When he says destroy the self is the Lord's presence or the consciousness or the divinity. How can they destroy the self? The Lord cannot be destroyed. What he means is, when I am practicing these, when I'm close to God and practicing the divine values, then I become divine. But when I have these 3 deficiencies, when I have these 3 defects, my divinity gets destroyed. I'm not able to practice divinity. I'm not able to live a life of divinity. So that is why he says, nashanam atmanaha, they destroy the self, the divinity within. and I become undivine, I become asuric. And what are the three? He says, kama, krodha, tatha, lobha. Lust, anger and greed, kama, krodha, lobha. Tasmat etat trayam tyajet. So therefore, tasmat, therefore, etat trayam, these three should be given up. Kama, krodha and lobha. Because why? Because they are highways to hell. Now they say that the whole world at this moment is engaged in these three. Anger, lust and greed. And everybody is running towards hell. You know, it's like there are these three big highways and everybody is running. And these three gates, there are three gates. And ultimately they all lead to one. Once you enter the gate, you all end up in the same place. And people are rushing madly. Nobody is thinking. Nobody has time to. Because everybody is doing it, I also should do it. And the poor teacher is standing. There is a fork in the road. So there are these three highways. And then there is this small little road. And it says to heaven. And the teacher says, come this way. No, 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 no. You know, everybody is running. Nobody has time to. Because there is a small little dirt road leading to heaven. Small little door. People ignore that. Nobody is interested in going. This reminds me of a story. When Jesus, you know, was crucified, he dropped his body. So the angels were taking him to heaven. You know, they were all carrying him. Because obviously, you know, he had lived his life for everybody. And so as he was going to heaven, the lower level was hell. So he told the angels, let me pass over hell and see what the people are doing. You know, they must be suffering. But let me see. So he goes by and he finds in hell, long tables filled with food, all kinds of food and drinks and alcohol. And people are eating and enjoying and having a great time. Everybody's enjoying himself. He said, wow, the food in hell is so good. How much better will it be in heaven? So the angels take him to heaven and God greets him. And they say, oh, it's dinner time. Come on, let us sit down and eat. And so God brings the food and all they have is dal and roti. You know, they have just the lentils and the bread. Lentil soup, he says. God, in hell I saw there was so much food. And how in heaven we only have dal and roti. Now I'll say it in Punjabi and then translate. The Bhagavan says, do bandiyan waste ki khana banaiye. What is to cook for two people? He says, too much trouble. Do aadmiyon ke liye kya? Because everybody, nobody wants to go to heaven. Why? Because they all want to. They think that hell is where. And people have this wrong idea that by satisfying my lust only does not mean sense pleasures, but also means any strong desire you have, any powerful desire, I must have this or that. And what does that lead to do? It leads to sorrow. And heaven and hell, Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary again and again says, is not a place. It's not that there is a location, you know, where you go after death. Because the body doesn't go anywhere, so it's not a place. The mind and intellect is the one, the jiva, the individual that goes. So heaven and hell are mental states. There are seven states of, last week we had talked about of heaven, and six states of hell, which are levels where the mind and intellect either enjoys or suffers. But heaven and hell does not have to be after death. A person who is under the control of these tendencies is suffering hell here itself. Or a person who is free from these is enjoying heaven here itself. His life becomes peaceful, that is heaven. When the life is suffering, that is hell. Patanjali, in his Yoga Sutras, very beautifully describes that. He says that suppose a person desires something. Say, I want to go to a movie. And I go there and it's sold out. You know, there's no tickets available. Or, you know, I want to buy something. I want to buy an outfit. And I go there, it was on sale, but the last one is sold out. So I have some disappointment. You know, it's too bad. You know, I didn't get it. The movie is a little bit, dress is a little more. But suppose my desire is not for a thing, but it is a chronic desire. Like, I want to be successful, I want to be rich, I want to be powerful, I want to be... So now this desire is a chronic desire, and it is a continuous desire. It's not, oh, I didn't get to see the movie, or no, it is one that I have to have, I must have it. So Patanjali says the minor desires we are able to overcome. You know, it's okay, chalo, aaj nahi dekha movie, tomorrow I'll see it. It's no problem. But when this chronic desire takes over us, and it can be anything. It can be a desire for a position, power, money, wealth, house, property, whatever it is. I must have more land. I must, you know, get my neighbors. So when that becomes lust, and lust is an overwhelming, continuous desire, then two things can happen. Patanjali says, if I get what I want, okay, I got it. And you say, oh, is that it? You know, that's all. That's not enough. I just have a million. Aajkal million se hota kya hai? What can you do with $1 million? Nothing. I need 2 million, or I need 5 million. I have one company. I need to have 2 companies. I need to have 3 stores. So it never is satisfied. And if by chance I don't get it, then what happens? This lust turns to anger. Anything that is an obstacle in my achieving what I want, then I become angry. And then the anger just expresses. And we find that nowadays, every day, if you pick up the paper, there is a mass shooting somewhere. Somebody is angry about something. It may be logical, it may be illogical. Like this guy in Oregon, I don't know what he was angry about, but he had mental issues, and he had 6 guns. Now, why a person with known mental illness is allowed to buy 6 guns? And then he takes them, and then he asks everybody, what is your religion? And the person said, I'm Christian. He just shoots them. So I don't know what he was angry about, at religion or what. But anger is becoming such a overwhelming emotion. And we find that even movies glorify that. If you see the movies, you see Amitabh Bachchan, you know, in childhood, his mother was raped or his sister was molested. And then the rest of his life, he has to take revenge. And they glorify. I mean, I agree that the person should be punished, but this guy will take the law into his own hands and slowly kill. And same thing we find in the Hollywood Western movies too. They glorify anger. You know, it's okay. You must take revenge. You must destroy whoever comes in your way. So that is the problem. So Krishna says, when there is too much desire, too much lust, fulfilled, it leads to greed. Unfulfilled, it leads to anger. And Arjuna, actually in the 3rd chapter, asked Krishna the same question. I guess, you know, we had heard it in the 3rd chapter, but we didn't understand it. So Krishna repeats. And that's what a good teacher will do, that until you have learned the lesson, he will repeat. So Arjuna asks in the 3rd chapter, he says, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichchanapi varshneya baladiva niyojitaha. He says, what is it that makes a human being commit sin? None of us wants to commit sin. None of us wants directly to be bad, but anichchanapi, even not wishing it, as if some force is propelling us. What is the force that makes us commit sin? Can you put on the left switch, please? The fan. The left one, yeah. The left, left, left. Extreme left. When you are facing them, the left. Yeah, that's it. So Arjuna asks, why does the people commit sin? Why do they do wrong things? So Krishna says, Kam esha, krodh esha, rajogun samud bhavaha, mahashano mahapapma. This should be vidyanam iha varinam. He says the 2 biggest enemies of ours are kama and krodha, desire and anger. And then desire, of course, leads to greed. Why are they our enemies? Why? What is the problem? Because their mahashana, they eat you up. They devour you. when you are under the influence of desire, I must have it, then a person doesn't think of anything else. Nothing else. And if I don't get it, I must be angry. So that is what leads us to committing sins, doing negative things. So these things should be avoided. These things should be considered as your enemies. So I should make every effort not to have too much desire, too much selfish desire, not to have anger, not to have greed. Because if I am not watchful, they can come up at any time. Like, you know, Halloween is coming up and, you know, all of us have taken our kids. I remember when they were little, we used to take them through these tunnels, you know, Halloween tunnels, and they are all every time there. And as you go, suddenly a ghost comes out or a goblin comes out. Oh, and, you know, the children get scared and, you know, the parents enjoy that. And then they come out and say, oh, mom, that was wonderful. Can we go again? So you want to be scared again? Yeah. So similarly in life, one has to be very alert, because as we are going through the tunnels of life, we don't know from where suddenly anger will arise, suddenly greed will arise, suddenly lust will arise. And then these lead to all other negative qualities. This is like the doorway. It's the doorway to hell, as Krishna says. That leads to jealousy, that leads to selfishness, that leads to parigraha, you know, collecting, accumulating more than I need, taking what doesn't belong to me, taking what I don't deserve. So these three doors are not only themselves bad, but they lead to so many other negative qualities. So that's why it says you have to be very watchful. Why? Because not everyone gets what we deserve, even though Madison Avenue is the advertising agencies, all of them are in New York in Madison Avenues, and they will advertise on TV, you know, there is this new car or there is this new iPhone, and if you don't have it, you are not good for anything. Or, you know, this vacation you have to go for, this new outfit, this new jewelry, all the time they are advertising. And then the thing is, not everybody can get what they want. You know, there is a job where there are 10, you know, there is one job and 10 people have applied. Only one is going to get the job. 9 are going to be disappointed. In the Olympics, you know, so many people compete, but only one wins the gold medal, one the silver, one the bronze. So in life, we are not always going to get what we want. And that we have to understand, that not everybody gets everything at every time. Even though Madison Avenue will advertise it, you know, this you must have. And then what happens is people build up false expectations because they show on TV, you know, there is this house, and they'll go to people's homes who are very luxurious homes, and then they will take you through each bedroom. And even that guy, says, you know, I must have this kind of house too. I must have this kind of car. I must have, whether I can afford it or not, So then what happens is that's when all the negativity start. And problems are there because of false expectations, because of too much, I cannot afford it, I do not deserve it, but I don't have to work hard. I either get it or I steal it, or I kill somebody and get it, or I, you know. So the negativity, that's why Krishna says, Kama, Krodha, Tatha, Lobha, they are the doorways to hell. Nashan Atmanaha, and they destroy our goodness. Anything that is good in me gets destroyed when I am under it. Desire, some people say, well, you know, if I don't have desire, then I won't work. And that is a very standard argument, you know. Without desire, why would I work? But what they mean here is the overwhelming desire to have something that I do not have to get. Yes, one has to work hard, but the goal of life only should not be selfish, you know, accumulation for me or myself. If I succeed, if I am doing well, then it is my duty to help others. The reason for success, or the Lord has given me so much, is not for me to just keep but for me to share, to make this world a better place. So we are not saying you should not work hard or you should not be successful, but the success should not be just kept to oneself. In the fourth chapter, Krishna talks about working with the yagna spirit, and he says that what is yagna? Yagna is where people get together to work together for a common cause. Like people got together and built this mission, or say they get together and build a hospital, or even a factory. A person puts up a factory. You know, he may say, well, I put all the money, yes. But there were so many managers, and then there was the architect, and then there was the contractor, and then there were the laborers who all put the factory together. And then there are so many supervisors and foremen and so many workers who are then working to make that factory successful, to produce the products for the benefit of the company. So if the owner thinks that just because I own the factory, then everything belongs to me, then he is making a mistake. The Krishna calls such a person a thief. Stena, he says that thief. Because even though you own the factory, but one has so many people have participated, so it is my duty to be fair to my employees, make sure they get a good, benefits, get all the salary they deserve. I have to make sure the product I make is of good quality, that, that is not that I'm not cheating the public, I'm not overcharging, I'm doing the right thing. And then when the profit comes, then I have to make sure that a part of that goes into serving the community to make the world a better place. So that is what we have to do with our, instead of just becoming greedy. And then people say, society is like that. Everybody is corrupt, especially if you go to India or go to a lot of the developing countries. There is so much corruption. Even from the smallest to the highest, everybody is corrupt. Society is corrupt. And even here, everybody is doing this, acquiring and cheating and also. What's wrong if I do it? Everybody is doing it. Sab kar rahe hain, so what's wrong with that? When you ask what Swami Chinmayananda says, what is society? People say, society is bad. Everybody is bad. But society is nothing but individuals put together. Like now we put together, make the, part of the Chinmaya mission, all the 100 families that get together. So what is Chinmaya mission Bakersfield? It is 100 families with the parents, with the children come and study, the parents bring. Similarly, what is Bakersfield? Bakersfield is not just an abstract concept. It is 250 or 300 or 400,000 people living in one area, and they call that city of Bakersfield. Now, what is California? What is the U.S.? The society is nothing but individuals put together. Individuals together make up society. It's not an abstract concept. United States is not something abstract. It is each individual who calls himself an American, or India is each individual who calls himself an Indian. So when you want to improve society, Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, you improve one individual at a time. As you improve one individual, that's what they say, you change and the world will change with you. I cannot change the whole of Bakersfield. I cannot change the whole of US, I cannot change the whole of California, but I can change myself. And when I make myself a better person, what happens? My family becomes happy, because the people I live with, the people I work with at my workplace, at my home. So, and then what happens is then they go out and help others. So my children, when they grow up in a happy household, then they become good citizens, they contribute to society when I go to work. So you can change one individual at a time. As you change yourself, that's why some Gurudev said, you change and the world will change with you. Because each one of us makes our own world. If I am happy, the world around me will be happy. If I am miserable and sad, the people around me will be miserable and sad. If I am angry, then I will spread that anger. So they say that you change yourself, you make yourself better, and then the society will change. And even if they don't change, at least I have done my part to make this world a better place. And that's all Krishna is asking us. He's not telling, not every one of us can be Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy. No, we all cannot be that, but I can make my neighborhood a better place. So that is what is required of us. That is what Krishna is telling us to do. But people have gotten so used to this that it becomes very hard for them to change. It's like they have gotten used to hell. As I said, you know, because the three highways are leading there and very few people are going towards goodness. And then people are sitting in hell and then they are saying, you know, even though I am in hell, it is very hot. But once in a while, a little breeze comes. And so that is good for me, you know. And that is what we do, even though we are suffering in all this world. But once in a while, the world gives us a little joy. You know, you get something good to eat or something little bit happens. So it's not that bad. You know, it's not that bad. It's okay. The world is, you know, is giving me problem, but it's, you know. So the scriptures tell us that there is a world called heaven, which is again not a world somewhere else. It is your state of mind. Once you give up these, and once your mind is filled with love and compassion and sharing and kindness, you'll find that you have a continuous flow of happiness. You don't need to look for little, you know, twinges of happiness. And the happiness is not outside. Happiness is not outside. That's what they say. If you look for happiness outside, whether it's in a person or a thing or a situation, that will change. The person who used to give you happiness will change, or the situation or the thing. They say look for happiness within, because we are all divine. We all have that source of joy within. We have Krishna or Ram or Jesus or Buddha. They're all within us. And you, the source of happiness is within. So that's what they say. Once you discover that, once you have found that happiness, then the world cannot make you happy or unhappy, because you have found the source of. And that's what we find in the lives of all these great saints. Again and again, every week I mention them, because they are an example for us. You know, the saints' life, they had so many problems. Look at Mirabai, Tukaram, Jesus, all of them, Buddha, they had so many problems. But once they had found the joy within, then the world cannot disturb them. The world cannot make them suffer. And that is why they say, pehle aap pehchano, find the joy within. And then only you will find joy outside. It's example I had also told once before, that now you need water from the you know, whatever, the California water works. So you there's a pipe and you turn it on and the water comes. But suppose now the drought becomes really bad and they shut off the water. Like in India, they say only 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day you'll get water. Then you'll be miserable, right? Oh, I can't take a bath now. I have to wait till the evening because the water is... That's how people live in India. Or those of us who live know that. So now I'm depending on the California Water Works. For 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day, they will give me water. But suppose I find a well under my property. I have this lot of land and I dig and I find a well. Plenty of fresh, clean water. Then I don't need the California Water Works. If they send me the water, 4 hours is good. If they don't, I can tap my well and get water. So I can take a bath whenever I want. I don't depend on that. So similarly, we are begging for happiness from the world. World, please give me happiness. Please give me joy. But once I have discovered the joy within, then I do not depend on the world for happiness. I do not depend on the world for my comfort. I am happy. So that's what Krishna says. That these three, Narakasya Dwaram, which destroy us, should be avoided. Why? Because they take us in the wrong path. So this is the solution. If you want to get out of all our negativities, avoid these three, lust, anger, and greed. This is where we are. Any questions, any comments? Yeah.
You know, those three, it's like desire is like the basis of all of them.
Absolutely. Right. Desire is the absolute basis. Yeah, desire. And where does desire come from? Okay, let me ask. Where does desire come from? Why do we have desire? Now, that's a very good point. Desire is the basis of... Everything starts from desire. Where does desire come from? Let me see.
Vasanas.
Yes.
Vasanas.
Vasanas, yes.
Wanting more and more.
Wanting more and more, yes.
But apparently, it gives us comfort. And
comfort.
Joy.
Right.
Comparing with others, like they have more and we have less, so that's why the desire
develops.
Right. What else?
You're not happy with what you have.
Not happy with what we have. Actually, all of you have answered it. Yes.
Desires are your impressions that
yeah.
come with past life and then you acquire something.
Acquire more, the vasanas. Absolutely. So, Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, all of you have together said it, desire comes from incompleteness. Incompleteness. I am incomplete and at this moment I am not good enough. And by getting that, I will become complete. See, that is where the desire basic comes from. A feeling that I am not good enough, I am incomplete, I am not perfect. And by getting that person in my life, if I can marry that person, my life will be perfect. You know, that is one. Or by getting that job, or by getting that, you know, business, or by getting that sari, or by getting that jewelry, or that BMW. You know, so somebody had said, I told this many times, but you know what BMW stands for? Big money waste. So by getting that BMW, so I am at this moment incomplete. And this particular object or person or situation or job or whatever will make me complete. And why do I think I'm incomplete? Because I think I am this body, mind and intellect. I am this limited being and at this moment I'm suffering. And by something I get for my body, you know, something for my body, maybe a new house, new car, or for my mind, you know, this person doesn't love me but they will love me more, then I'll be happy. Or my intellect, you know, I am not yet successful if I get that next job or next position. So all these three things, and it comes from vastness, from my selfish desires, from accumulated tendencies of many lifetimes. And then by working more and more with lust, anger and greed, I am strengthening the vastness. I am not reducing them. So the whole goal of spirituality is called vasana kshaya. Reduce your vasanas, destroy your vasanas. How do you do that? By realizing that God is in me. I am a spiritual being. All of us are spiritual beings. We are all have Krishna in us equally. We all have Jesus in us. We all have that inner divinity. So touching that, coming in contact with that, and going away from the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, because here with the body, I'm chasing after objects. With the mind, I want emotions. With the intellect, I'm chasing after thoughts and concepts. But when my BMI turns towards the spirituality and turns away from the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, then I discover the joy within. Then I discover the completeness. Like I said, once I have found the well in my own property, then I don't depend on the world to give me happiness. So that is what. So desire comes from incompleteness. And when I realize I am complete, we all are complete because potentially all of us can become Mirabai. We can all become Jesus. We can all become Swami Chinmayananda, Shankaracharya, Buddha. We all have the potential, but we don't utilize that. We all have the divinity. We don't utilize it. So once you do, then you will reach the highest. So that is how you reduce your desires. Yes?
It seems as though there's a fine line between being satisfied with what you have and maybe I want more because God wants me to achieve more, or it's God's plan to put me in a different place.
Yes.
So isn't there like a fine line, and how do you decide whether you're... want success or to achieve
right.
something, you know, is it because, you know, God is saying, I want you to do this for my purposes? Or,
right.
you know, are you doing it on your own?
I think you already answered the question that we are not saying that you should not work hard. You should be as successful as you can. Every one of us should be successful. But two things. One is, at the end of the day, one should have an attitude of contentment. That even though I worked hard, God, I'm thankful for what I have. Because we don't have the contentment. Santosh is a very, very important. In fact, in the 12th chapter, when Sri Krishna talks about the qualities of a devotee, the first one he says is, Santushta Satatam Yogi. A wise man, a yogi, works as hard as he can, but at the end of the day says, God, thank you for what you have given me. The attitude of gratitude and contentment. And secondly, I want to be successful so I can make this world a better place, so I can help others, like you yourself said. I work hard, I'm very successful, but to make this world a better place, not just to accumulate more for myself and my own glory and my own, you know, name and fame. The idea is to help others. So that is the purpose of working hard. Yeah, so we are not saying that what should not. But it should, for what goal am I working? What is the goal of my life? We'll talk about that in the next verse. What is the goal? What is the purpose of my life? That should be very clear. Anything else? Yeah.
I think the idea of contentness or source of happiness being within, I just read it could be treated like, you know, what we say in democracy, that you think about what you can do country rather than country asking for country or the government
yeah.
can do for you.
Absolutely.
So kind of same thing. Don't look outside what others can do for you to make you happy or, you know, fulfill your desire. You have to come up with your own, what you can do on your own to help others.
Absolutely. Right. Very good point. Yeah. So what I can do for others and
right.
what others can do for me. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
You know, when you were talking about, you know, the source of desire, I was thinking, you know, even from like birth, you take a baby, you know, its first desire is going to be, it has an empty stomach and it's going to want to nurse, it's going to want some milk.
Right.
And it's like, if that desire is not met, then it's like the baby loses faith its desires will be met.
Right.
And it's almost like those desires of the senses
right.
are the first desires that a child has, and then you move into more the emotions, the desires of the mind for love. The child doesn't receive love, they don't have the faith that they can give
right.
love.
Right. Yeah, no, desire is what makes you get up in the morning to go to work. But what we are saying is, we are talking about lust, where the desire becomes so powerful that it takes over your mind. I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat or drink or not go to a restaurant or not watch a movie. We're not saying that. But that should not take over your mind where it leads to anger and greed. That's what the point is. You yourself said desire is the source of all the other problems. There's a line between a good desire and a wrong desire. So what is the goal or purpose of my desire? That is, obviously, you need to eat and drink and clothe and get a house and a car. I'm not saying, nobody is saying that. Krishna doesn't say that anywhere, that, you know, give up everything and take on. That's what Arjuna wanted to do. Arjuna wanted to give up everything and take orange clothes and go and meditate in the Himalayas. And Krishna told him, you are not ready yet. You're a warrior. You're trained to fight. And there is a war where the evil is standing in front of you. And it is a justified war. And it's not a war for property. It is for the future of the country. And so for you to take on orange clothes and give up all desires and say, you know, I'm going to put on, go and meditate, you're never going to be able to meditate. Your mind is not ready for meditation. You are a karma, you are a dynamic individual. You purify your mind by doing karma yoga. Do service of the community, help the people. And then when your mind is quiet through service, then you can do meditation. Not everybody cannot sit and meditate. So what kind of desire you have is a, whether it's a just or an unjust desire.
How do we know then which the fine line, where do we have to stop the, like how do we know that?
I think if an activity disturbs you, if by possessing something or acquiring it, it disturbs you, then you know. Either it disturbs you or it disturbs people around you. But if something you do and it at the end of the day you are left with a good feeling that I have done something good, then so we all know, you know within your own mind that what I am after, is it right or wrong? Is it good or bad? Is it going to lead me to, if it leads me to anger, greed, jealousy, then those are not good desires. But if I, like a person wanting to help the community, you know, says, okay, we all need to get together and build a hospital. We don't have a hospital in this area. Now, that is a good desire. And at the end of the day, he'll feel good about himself that he got enough 20 people together to work. So we know. You will know within yourself what whether your desire is right or wrong, evil or justified. I think each one of us knows, and that's why Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, take a good look at yourself every day. Periodically, where am I going? What is my purpose? What is my goal? And that will come in the next verse. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Kushchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.